This is KERA News. I'm Rick Holter. It's been a week of bad news for the Dallas Mavericks. The team has one of the worst records in the NBA. Owner Mark Cuban was fined $600,000 for saying, quote, losing is our best option. And Sports Illustrated published an investigative report that described a corrosive workplace culture that was brutal for the women who work in the front office. Jessica Luther co-wrote that piece, and she's with us from KUT in Austin. Jessica Luther, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Thank you for having me.
What was it like for women working for the Mavericks?
I think if you were on the business side and you had to go into the office, it was, you know, it could be a really rough space, especially if you had to interact directly with the then CEO and president of the Dallas Mavericks, Terdema Usery. These women, you know, they never really knew when they were going to be sexually harassed, and none of them, the ones that we talked to, felt like they had any recourse. There was no way to report it in a way that would result in any changes. So it was just part of the job.
And as you reported, these complaints about that behavior went back almost two decades. He left the job 3 years ago. This sounds like so many of those kind of open secret stories we've heard over the last few months.
That's how the women that we talked to described it, that it was the kind of thing that everyone who worked there knew about it. And he was investigated in 1998. There was an internal investigation at the Dallas Mavericks. This was pre-Cuban, before Cuban bought the team. And of course, the internal investigation found that it was unsubstantiated, the complaint. And they then at that point hired their vice president of human resources. Mm-hmm. And then Cuban bought the team. They kept all these people on. And, you know, he did leave 3 years ago. He went to Under Armour and he lasted there only 2 months. And we've heard that the reason was because he sexually harassed a woman at Under Armour and was let go at that point.
What was the role of Mark Cuban, the team's owner?
It's a hard one to answer because he has said repeatedly that he didn't know anything about Usery, that that was all brand new. Mm-hmm. When we brought it to him. The women that we talked to have a really hard time believing that.
He's known as such a kind of micromanager, like in everybody's business.
And he's proud of that. And so what he told John when he talked to my co-author, John Wertheim, on Monday was that, yes, he is like that on the basketball side, the basketball operations. Mm-hmm. The business side, though, he's not like that. The women that we talked to don't believe that at all. Like, they really, really believe that everybody knew and it went all the way up. There was another part of our story which involved a Mavs.com writer who pleaded guilty in 2010, I believe, 2012, mm-hmm. to domestic violence. And then a couple years later in 2014, another employee, a Mavs employee that he had been dating, reported to the organization, to the head of HR, that he had hit her, that they had an abusive relationship. And at that point, Cuban has said that he did know about all of that and he chose to keep that guy on and regrets it now. So the Mavs have hired to outside attorneys to do an internal investigation. Whether or not we'll ever know what's in that investigation and what they find, I'm not sure.
It's interesting. The NBA fined Cuban $600,000 this week for talking about losing being his team's best option. Yet the league hasn't said anything about this workplace culture situation.
They basically said that they're going to leave it up to the internal investigation of the Mavericks. I think a lot of people maybe hope, maybe expect that the NBA will do their own investigation. It does seem like the NBA has inserted itself into issues like this before, maybe not this exact one. Mm-hmm. But everyone's sort of waiting to see what Adam Silver is going to do and say about this.
There's been so much bad press about male athletes' treatment of women over the last few years. But one of the things that stood out in your reporting here was that women saw the locker room as a safe space. They had no problems with the players. Did that surprise you?
I don't know if I was surprised by it, but, you know, the quote-unquote locker room talk was happening at their workplace, right, rather mm-hmm. than the actual locker room. I feel like at this point and the Me Too conversation, and I've been doing work on gender harassment and violence for about 5 years now. I don't know if you can surprise me at all, but I don't know, sadly, kind of normal. Like, it fit a long mm-hmm. pattern that we've been discussing as a culture in all kinds of industries.
A few years back, you wrote a book called Unsportsmanlike Conduct, College Football and the Politics of Rape. What parallels did you see between the college football world in Texas at that time and what you saw in the Mavericks front office in Dallas?
You know, sports is a particular kind of space, and there are a lot of men in it, and women sort of tiptoe through a lot of parts of it and really have to navigate systems that weren't designed for them. You know, sports is a space where we create lots of ideas about how masculinity should look and should work. The same kind of stuff is at play. But then again, it was in play with Harvey Weinstein, and right. It was true of the New York Opera, I think. Like, it's all kinds of places.
Jessica Luther, one of the reporters for Sports Illustrated's investigation of the Dallas Mavericks, thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you.